on ABC Sport,
your home of cricket.
The Gabba crowd applaud that with good reason. K.L. Rahul in the end picking up just a single in what looked like a certain boundary. India 2 for 22.
Ends the over, Australia 2 for 22.
They'll take a single, the Aussie pair. 2 for 22.
And it's a Richie number on the board. How good are you at Richie?
2 for 22.
Yeah, no, the great man grew up listening to Richie.
On your radio, ABC Sport Digital Radio, and on the ABC Listen app.
It's going to be an exciting summer of cricket, that's for sure, with Jim Maxwell joining Corbin Middlemass and heading up ABC Sports on-air coverage of the 2025-26 Ashes, leading a first-class lineup of cricket experts. These include Australian Test stars Glenn McGrath, Darren Lehman, Jason Gillespie and Stuart Clarke, who will offer their insights throughout the battle between Australia and England, while English commentators Jonathan Agnew and Alison Mitchell will join the crew along with former England spinner Phil Tufnell. You'll be able to hear every ball of every test on ABC Local Radio and ABC Listen app starting from November 21 with the first test in Perth. And despite the fact he's still in England tidying up some loose ends, in fact, he's packing, ready to come home after his stint as coach of Northamptonshire. It's a big hello to a man who's not only played for the Australian team, he coached them as well with a World Cup victory and Ashes series wins. Darren Buff-Lehman, how are you?
Hello, Zane. Long time no hear from. Jeez, it's good to hear your voice.
Oh, it's good to hear yours as well, Buff-Ben. And can't wait for you to get back into the country. How is the packing going, by the way?
Oh, slow and laborious, mate. Slow and laborious. But it's been a wonderful summer over here, actually. I've got a really good insight into how England go about their stuff in the cricket field and looking forward to what's going to be an amazing summer. The hype is unbelievable over here, let alone what it's starting to get like back at home for the what's going to be the most anticipated Ashes since sort of 05, really, where, you know, they gave themselves a really good chance and they're quite confident over here about their chances and bullish about how they're going to play. So it's going to be a fascinating series. I'm just so looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, look, things are hotting up here as well. We've already had the first round of the Sheffield Shield and also some one-day domestic matches. Marnus Labuschagne, your former protege, he's just scoring hundreds at will. We saw Matty Renshaw crack the Aussie one-day side with 128 in the Shield match. Henry Hunt scored 126 for South Australia, along with your son, Jake, who got 113 at Adelaide Oval. Who's impressed you the most as we head to that first test in Perth?
Oh, Labuschagne. I mean, he looks like he's got his head right. Looks like he's decided he's going to, you know, not just try and survive, he's going to score some runs. So I've got him back in. I've got him in. Whether it's one, two or three, I don't know. You know, whether it's opening or a three spot, it really depends on how everyone else performs over the next sort of couple of games in the Shield. But I like what I'm seeing. So, you know, that's certainly made it a lot easier for the selectors, I would think. Having said that, they might go a different way. But against England with their pace bowling attack, you need blokes who can play fast bowling really well. You know, they're coming strong. They're not coming with much spin, obviously, but they're coming with lokes of Archer and Wood and Atkinson and Tongue, and they've all got pace. They might not do enough with the ball, but what they do is they have real wheels. So for our listeners, you know, that's like Mitchell Starc, four of those, bowling, you know, 145, 150. Obviously, we've got Hazelwood, Cummins, well, fingers crossed Cummins, but Starc, and then Richardson and Boland. So the two bowling attacks are very, very good. I still rate ours higher than theirs in Australia, and ours are very durable. They keep playing. But back to Marnus, he's the guy that you go, he plays fast bowling well, ticks all the boxes, gun fielder, effervescent, up for the challenge. One of those players has played a lot, been on a bit of a downer, but you're going a bit of tried and true and trusted, aren't you, with Marnus? And, you know, I think he's done enough to probably warrant getting back in there. But, you know, let's see what the selectors say.
Well, the big thing is, does he come into open or does he go into number three? And if you do that, where does Cam Green bat? And of course, we know Bo Webster's got that ankle problem.
Well, Cam Green's ahead of Webster for me, and that might surprise a few because Webster's been very good for Australia. He's been outstanding, and it's a really tough call. But Cam Green, I saw bat over here, and he made the best couple of hundreds I've seen in county cricket this year by far. You know, he absolutely blazed away and played beautifully at five for loss to four and five. So I actually have him batting six. I just think he's bowling. So he's the all-rounder and he's ahead of Webster. Now, that makes it a bit harsh on Webster, who's been excellent, hasn't he, Bo, for the duration of his test career so far. He'll get more opportunities. But the sheer balance of the side, say Marnus does about three, let's say Usman's going to hold down the spot with his start. He started well and you think he's going to be there. So you're looking for an opener. You got Marnus at three. You got four, obviously Smith. Oh, I don't want Smith to bat three. I want Smith to bat four. Head five. Green six. Carey seven. That's a pretty good middle order, isn't it? So I'm happy with that. And then the last opening spot's down to all those guys in the next few Shield games to really dominate and put their hand up. Renshaw is a good player. He made 180 in against Pakistan. Oh, how long ago is that, Zane? Maybe 5-6 years ago, is it now?
The SCG, it was a great innings, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I was coaching. I went, this guy's going to be a 100-test player. And he sort of forms dictated that. He's been up and down. So, you know, him making 100. Marcus Harris was outstanding here for Lancashire in English conditions, yes, but he played really well. He's had a good couple of years of Shield cricket. Same with Bancroft. They're all in the mix, aren't they? You know, McSweeney, who's, you know, needs to get some runs to put his name back up there. And then Constance, I'm probably leaving Constance out. I just don't think he's done enough. That might be a bit harsh on the young man because he's a fine young player. But in the cauldron, we just need guys that are going to be a little bit more correct and under pressure to do the right things. He's got some weaknesses, the ball coming back into him, which has been known for a while now and hasn't changed, though. So he's got a bit of work to do, but I'm sure he's going to play a lot for Australia. But I just don't have him in the first test side.
I heard Ian Healy say earlier this week that he was concerned that Constance plays all the great shots but just doesn't have that defensive resolve that you're going to need against particularly really good fast bowling, because they will just wear at you. And if you're not going to be in that defensive mindset, then you might not be able to score runs, even though, funnily enough, he's playing aggressive shots.
Yeah, well, the way baseball happens over here, they set attack and field, so you don't have to go searching too hard to score runs. You've got to stay in. Because they have attacking fields the whole time, every time you hit the ball in Australia, you're going to score runs. It might sound an old analogy, but what happens here with England, the way they play, is they keep the field up and quite close, a lot of catches in. So if they bowl bad bowling, you're going to score four or five and over, no dramas, without searching or without trying to be too hard. So technique to stay in is paramount. If you do that, you get opportunities to score because of the way they bowl and the way they set the fields. And that's the way they play. So you've got a counterpunch somewhere, and I reckon staying in is the first one, and then just using the pace of the bowlers and hitting the gaps, and you'll score plenty of runs.
Well, I want to get to Pat Cummins because you've mentioned him already very shortly, but I also want to talk to you as a proud dad. What about Jake? He scored 400s in his last 8 innings in the Sheffield Shield. Has he been seeking advice from his old man, Darren? You must be proud with what he's doing over there in South Australia.
Oh, over the moon, mate. Watched the first one this year. Obviously watched the Shield final live over here. It was like 3 a.m. I stayed awake till, you know, 7 or 8 watching the whole innings. But he's just gone to another level. 400s in 4 Shield games. I never did that. And a lot of players I know have never done that. He's certainly batting with real confidence. I see he got 85 today in the one-day game. So he's in really good form, which is, yeah, I'm just proud of him, mate. It's quite good to just sit up and watch him bat, and you get a little bit choked up, actually, because, you know, I'm not there able to watch him as a dad, but you watch him in spirit and watch him on the screen, listen to him on ABC Sport and all those sort of things. So I've just been fortunate enough to watch him develop into a really good young man and a good father, and, you know, he's enjoying his career. He's just had the birth of our third grandchild, Teddy, the little legend who I haven't seen yet, Zane. I haven't met him yet, which is unbelievable, isn't it? I get to see him in about a week or so. So, you know, that's one of those things. He just seems to have got better with age, and that's a really pleasing thing. I'm proud of him.
Granddad or Poppy, what do they call you, Darren?
Oh, Pop, mate. It's all Pop, yeah. Yep. So I've got all these presents coming home from England for him, so I'm looking forward to seeing all the grandkids.
Congratulations to Pop, Darren Lehman, grandfather of young Teddy, the son of Jake, who is killing it in the Sheffield Shield. And he might not be in that Ashes squad for that first test, Darren Lehman, but it's very unfortunate that we might not have our skipper in Pat Cummins. That back injury looks like it's more serious than we originally thought. They're calling it lower lumbar bone stress. Who would you be including in the squad? It's no-brainer to bring in Scotty Boland, but who else do you think comes into that squad if we have no Pat Cummins?
Well, the four I've got there in that sort of spot, Boland, for example, Webster, who could play as the third seam, but he's probably not quick enough. But Jai Richardson and Michael Nesta are the two that sort of come to mind. Jai Richardson, if he's fully fit, he's not back yet, though, is he? That's the problem, that he's close but not quite right. So he'd have to start playing and doing a really good job soon. Ness has been in the form. Doggett, well, he's got a hamstring, hasn't he, as well?
Yep.
So there's plenty there you can choose from. I think they'll go with Boland straight up. So I think, you know, it'll be start Boland, Lyon, Hazelwood, because Boland's been so good over a period of time, and they'll need to be. The wickets will suit Boland a lot more than they did England. England was slower wickets, but quicker off the pitch, Scotty Boland. So I think they'll start with him, but they'll have someone like a Nessa in the squad, you would think, or Richardson.
Well, I watched Nessa bowl against Tasmania last week, and he was bowling very, very well, getting the ball to move both ways, and took a brilliant caught and bowled to get rid of Jake Weatherald, who's in contention for this year's test side. So he's coming in good form, that is for sure. Now, talking about the bowling, what did you make of the English touring side? I think everyone over here is a little bit surprised to see that they named Will Jacks as one of their members. You've seen more of him than we have. What do you think?
Good player. Obviously, with the bat, with the ball, is steady off spin. He may play though, mate, because the wickets don't spin a lot early, and I feel like that's the big difference in the two sides. You know, when you come up against, you know, our top order is probably a bit fragile as such, but our middle order's excellent. Our bowling attack's excellent. You know, England, their bowling attack's good, but not durable. You know, they've had injuries; they're a bit light on, and they've got no spinner. So they're going to use Jax as their spinner with, they've said Bashir's going to play, but I was just thinking Perth, the first game, if the wicket's like last year, spin won't play a big factor. You know, it won't bowl as much. If it's hot weather, you need your spinner bowling. But I think they'll use Jax as that, the controller, just bowls a few overs here. Or they may, or like a Bethel or someone like that, to use Holden end up, just bowl a few overs, because they don't worry about over eight. England don't worry about over eight, and they always bowl first. Zone. So for all our listeners there, you'll see them bowl first every time. On flat
surely
wickets,
after
England,
what the, don't they learn from what happened with Nasser saying at the Gabba? I mean, seriously.
No, they bowl first. Every game in England, they bowl first if they win the toss. And the reason is because they've got to get 20 wickets, so they want to get 10 as quick as they can.
Okay.
And then they go about their batting because they score quickly, and they worry about the next 10 after that. So they try and speed the game up that way in the first innings by bowling them out however long that takes, and then going really hard with the bat. Mm. So, you know, and the wickets, to be fair, last year, they were challenging, weren't they?
Yeah.
In test match cricket. I think they should be the same, exactly the same wickets as last year, because I think it just suits the way we play and our bowlers, and we leave the ball well. So I'm producing the same wickets. Groundsman did a great job last year. Yes, there was a fair bit in them, but you know what? They were good, challenging wickets for fast bowling. And what have we got? We've got some world-class fast bowling, even without Cummins. You know, if you're playing on those wickets, Scotty Boland will get a lot of wickets, or Nessa, or Richardson, or whoever it may be. So I think we've just got to be brave and play on the same type of wickets. It's not flat, because if you play on flat, they'll score a lot of runs and quickly. They will score a lot of runs and quickly, England. They've got a good batting order, and they're all confident in the way they play.
Well, I tell you what, I cannot wait for this Ashes series. It's going to be spectacular, Darren Lehman. I can't wait for your commentary as well, because you've been amazing already on Summer Grandstand across ABC Sport. Hope you're enjoying your afternoon. We've got to one of the mainstays of our ABC commentary team with us. And because of that, Darren, I've got you for some important business today. It's a new segment that debuted yesterday with the great Jim Maxwell. It's called 2 for 22, and it breaks into two sections, personal and prediction/analysis. So you're a veteran of 27 test matches with 5 test hundreds and a batting average of 44.95, including 5 tests against the old enemy. So I need to begin by asking you in this important segment, when you think of the Ashes, what's the first memory or moment that comes to mind?
Oh, easy one, this one. That's why I got into cricket, mate. David Hook's hitting the great late Tony Greig for 5-4s at MCG in the 1977 Test match, Centenary Test.
Greig goes in round the wicket, bowls to Hook. He hits him in the air on the offside, but perfectly safely over the top of Willis at deepish mid-off and into the fence for 4 more runs. Short ball down the leg side. Hook's wheels round on it. pulls it down to a deep fine leg, and it beats Underwood down there and goes for four more runs. Hooks, and he drives it through the covers for four more. Greg goes in, round the wicket to build the hooks again, and he glances in this time, and there's his 50, a beautiful stroke through mid-wicket for four more runs. Wonderful bit of batting by David Hooks.
Hooksy was a young left-hander and just came to crease, and you know, he just walloped the five fours in a row and went to 50, and all of a sudden there was this new star born, wasn't it? And you know, he was a great mate of mine. Little did I know I'd actually get to play and be my first captain with David Hooks, and he was one of those guys that I just loved watching play. And you know, it was just a big moment, a big crowd, MCG, and when you're a young kid watching it, the influences that had on me were second to none. So, and the fact it was the England captain as well, Tony Greig. I mean, it was fantastic to watch. And as a boy, you know, growing up watching the game, I'm sure all our listeners remember it. And it was one of the great things that got me into cricket.
Absolutely. And Greggy kept digging it in, and Hooksy kept pulling it for four. It was remarkable. Look at cutting. It was incredible. Now, who was your toughest opponent when you played in the National Series?
Oh, there's so many of them. I suppose one of the toughest would have been the mental side of the game with my playing against my brother-in-law.
Yes.
Craig White, he actually got me out in a couple of times. And Andrea, my wife, his sister, didn't talk to him for a week or so, which is a little bit difficult.
As White bowls here, Lehman pulls the ball away in the air, and he's caught. Straight down Harmison's throat. Will he get some relief? Taking a straightforward catch as Lehman got inside the short ball, and all he did was manage to really spoon it straight down the throat of Harmison. So England end the session with a useful wicket because Lehman was appearing to be going as he pleased.
But what would I say? Someone like that, or you know, Harmison with his pace and bounce was always hard. But
England striving for this last wicket. They've been doing that for a while. Harmison comes up and bowls, and Kasparovic goes back and parries one. Is he caught down the leg side? There's an appeal for a catch. He's out. England have won. England have won by two runs.
Wow, what a finish. What an incredible test match. That is astonishing stuff. And quite fittingly, Steve Harmison takes the winning wicket, and Geraint Jones takes a very good catch down the leg side. What a phenomenal test match.
Probably the bowler over a longer period of time that I played a lot against, and more so in Canterbury, was Andrew Flintoff, who had pace and bounce and had the skill level to really trouble you as a left-hander from around or over the wicket. So for me, he'd be the pick of all the bowlers of all time that I played against.
Flintoff back at the top of his mark in the distance. 24 wickets in the last Ashes series. Four times this man, Hayden, was on the list. Not this time. Where is it? He is. He's edged it and it's gone straight to second slip. Collingwood's taken the catch. Flintoff has got the breakthrough. He is mobbed by all his teammates. Hayden, an uncertain, probed forward with the bat, took the outside edge. And the magic man, their talisman, has struck in the 19th over.
For sheer competitiveness, someone like Darren Goff was exceptional, wasn't he? He had a real crack all the time. And excited the people. Never really, the spinners were always, you know, sound and solid, but really it was a quick bowling that had the challenges most, with, you know, Flintoff being number one.
Well, Darren Lehman, you were responsible for preparing sides for Australia, particularly as the coach, but as a player, did you prepare any differently for the Ashes compared to other series?
No, I didn't in particular, but a lot of players did, because the hype was huge. I mean, you think about the hype going into it now, Zane, with everything that's going on behind the scenes and how many people are wanting to get there, get a ticket, sold out everywhere, isn't it? The first two or three days of most test matches at the moment. So for me, it's just the hype is huge in the media, and media has become so big. So I can see it getting bigger and bigger. Barmy Army will travel with, you know, 20, 30,000 people to most test matches days, which is unheard of. So in terms of preparation, it was very similar in those days, though. You remember, it's a long time ago, Zane, so I have to remember. We played more Shield cricket leading into an Ashes series. And this year, I think, is one of the few times they will play a few, three or four Shield games, which gives them great preparation for the team and then to select the side and make sure you got everyone right. And if you're doing that, that's the best preparation you can have, playing games at domestic level in one of the best domestic comps in the world.
it's a great lead-in, isn't it, for the Ashes, and something we haven't done in the past. And, of course, that was the big problem last year when we were rock and rolled at Perth Stadium on that first day by India. It's great to see that we've actually got the side having some cricket and getting some runs and getting some wickets as we head into the series. We've already spoken a little bit about it as we move into the predictions analysis, but where do you see the biggest weaknesses in both teams?
Oh, making sure the top order of Australia play well. If they do that, they'll win the Ashes. If the top order have a good series, they'll win the Ashes. Oh. And then for England, it's their spinning department. And able to take 20 wickets in Australian conditions is going to be the key for them. They're very same. They haven't got much difference in their attack. Yes, they've got some speed, but they don't really have a left armer. Their spinner's not as a bigger wicket-taking difference for them as it is for us with Lyon, obviously.
Which player do you think will have the biggest impact on the series?
Steve Smith. Big moments, big game, big player, great player. And it looks like he's going to captain a fair bit of it, doesn't it? So he's going to have a lot to do. I just think he stands up in those moments. He has done over a period of time, and Ashes series seem to bring out the best of him. He'll be working his backside off, knowing Steve to be the best player he can be at that given time, and just cruise on to another big Ashes series win, you would hope. So I back him to make a lot of runs.
Is there a particular ground in the series where you think Australia or England needs to win?
England need to win the first one in Perth. That's a big game, because Australia have shown they can come back from losing in Perth, like last year against India. But England, if they lose the first one in England, then you've got to win two of the next four. And the last two, traditionally, the wickets are pretty flat, aren't they? And then you've got Adelaide in that as well. So, you have to – England can't afford to lose the first one. Australia would love the first one and really, put things in perspective and make them chase. So I think England have to win the first one to be right in it. Australia, they'd have to win one of the first two. But, because that makes England chase the game a little bit. So, and when they're chasing the game, sometimes you make mistakes. So the first two test matches, and that's not rocket science, mate, to be fair to our listeners. I mean, the last few Ashes series have been done in, 11 and 12 days?
Yeah.
13 days, because England haven't been in the game. I guarantee they'll be in the game and series somewhere, but it has to be early, because if it's not, it'll be too late.
This is the finishing part of our segment, Darren, and this is where you get to play Nostradamus for us here on Summer Grandstand. We've got the great Boof Lehman with us across Australia on ABC Sport. Now, Darren, who takes the most wickets?
Hazelwood for Australia and Archer for England if he stays fit.
Okay, who do you see as the top run scorer for the series?
Oh, Steve Smith for Australia. And then closely followed by Joe Root. I actually think there's been a lot of hype about Joe Root, isn't there?
Is he going to get 100?
I think he will. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, I mean, I was watching back this year and he looks well in control. He's just got to make little adjustments in how he plays in Australia. If he does that, he'll actually make 100. But he's had three goes at it, as I've said before, three goes. But he's going to be the greatest of all time. If he makes 100, he will be the greatest batter of all time. He will pass all the records. I mean, he's going to break all the records because his desire to play is second to none. So, people took it out of context when I said he's not a great. I mean, he just needs to finish off what's been a remarkable career. I think he'll get 100 in Australia somewhere, but I think Root will be the leading run scorer. Harry Brooks is a good player. If Australia keep them quiet like they have with Root in the previous tours, Australia will win because they won't score enough runs, England. So they're big players, Brooke and Stokes keeping him quiet as well. If they keep those three quiet, they'll go a good way to winning the Ashes. But, best out of predict Root to be the highest England run scorer and to make 100.
What's one headline you think we'll be reading by the end of this Ashes?
One of the coaches goes.
Wow.
There'll be change. What would the headline be? Change is coming. There you go, for something. The way they change either domestic cricket structures or how you play the game, how you want to play the game, selection. Selection might be an issue. If our older players don't deliver, that'll be an issue. There's lots you can talk about, though, isn't there? There's so much you can the headlines. And normally what happens when you as an Australian coach, you just can't lose the Ashes at home. That's what you can't do. And Mac has been a fantastic coach for Australia over a period of time, so no problems there. But you just don't know which way it'll go. It's so close. If it's a big thrashing one way or the other, it'll be big changes. If England come over and play so well in Australia, there'll be big changes, wholesale changes, obviously with players, but also, the structure.
Well, we saw that with the Argus review, didn't we, back in 2010-11?
Yeah, that's right. So, and if England lose, well, there'll be big changes the way they play because, yes, baseball is exciting and it has brought people through the gate. But as people, if you look at the results, it hasn't won many series against big nations. You know, it's one of those ones. So it gets them in. It's people entertained, but over here the whispers are, it's just starting to take its toll. You're not winning big series. If they win big series, well, look out. They'll play baseball for the rest of their careers, England. It'll be the way it is. So it's just going to be a massive. So the headline, I'm out of guess. I'm out of guess, mate. One way or the other, it depends who loses and how big the loss is.
I just love the fact that you've come out in your first stint with ABC Sport and gone bang. Brendan McCullum to be sacked by England after they get thrashed in England. I love it. I love it, Darren Lehman. Just finally, if you had to call the series result today, what's your prediction? Are you predicting that Baz will be gone?
No, I'm going 2-1. Well, I'm 2-1 Australia, yep. But I think it'll be a lot closer than everyone thinks.
Okay.
And if it's a close series like that, I don't think anyone will get sacked, mate. There you go. It'll be one of those ones. But I think it could live up to its hype of the 2005 Ashes series. It could be as big as that. So if it does, we're in for a winner, aren't we? What a time it's going to be. I mean, how excited is Jim going to be and Corbin and, Ali and Corley? I mean, it's going to be great for us as players watching and calling. But for the fans listening and going to the games, I mean, I can't think of bigger hype than I've seen or heard over the last 6 to 12 months about this series. So, I wish all the players the best and coaches the best and put on a ripper series for us because as a spectator and as a fan of the game, that's all you want to see, don't you?
Now, we will hear you in the commentary box next Sunday as Australia takes on India in the one-day series, and that's going to be exciting as well.
It will be too, yeah. Kohli's back, isn't he?
He is, and so, Rohit Sharma.
Yeah, so they're bringing a full side out, which will be a great start of the summer for us. I mean, we're already playing, obviously, and they had a reasonable start for the lads, which is good to see. So, it is going to be an unbelievable series to warm up. And the Shield cricket's going on, so there's a lot to watch and listen to. So, for me, I'm just looking forward to getting in front of the microphone again and talking all summer. And, mate, by the end of it, I was all talked out. But, wow, what a summer it's going to be of actually just entertaining people, hopefully. Hopefully the listeners love it. I'm sure they will. There'll be a lot of controversy along the way. But, it'll be a great summer for everyone to tune into.
Well, best of luck with the packing, Darren Lehman. Travel home safe. And we look forward to seeing you at Perth Stadium next Sunday for ABC Sport as the Aussies take on India ahead of a huge Ashes series in the Test matches. Darren Lehman, thanks for being with me on Summer Grandstand.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.